RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The World Bank launches transparent and efficient remittance program in Lombok. Indonesia wins UNESCO Prize for Girls and Women's Education. Now the news in detail. The World Bank, along with four Indonesian partners, namely Bank Indonesia, Indonesian Peninsula Service Authority, and West Nusa Tenggara and East Lombok Administration, launched the Greenbelt 2.0 project, a transparent and efficient remittance program for Indonesian migrant workers in Mataram on Wednesday. The World Bank's Country Sector Coordinator for Finance and Markets, Christopher Juan Kosten, said that the Greenbelt 2.0 is developed in East Lombok to build a transparent and efficient remittance market by increasing awareness of Indonesian migrant workers and their families about the assistance or benefits of banking and other financial services. Indonesia and Zimbabwe had won the first UNESCO Prize for Girls and Women's Education given by United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization UNESCO and funded by the Chinese government. Indonesian Ambassador, Deputy Permanent Representative to UNESCO, Fauzi Sulaiman, told Antara News Agency that Indonesia is proud to have received the award after the hard work carried out by the Directorate for Early Childhood Education Program, FAUD, led by Director Ella Yulalawati. Fauzi also stated that Indonesia has won three awards from UNESCO, namely UNESCO King Sejong Literacy Prize on September 26, 2012, UNESCO Japan Prize on Education for Sustainable Development 2015, and UNESCO Prize for Girls and Women's Education. Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Economic Affairs invited some private companies to cooperate in the pilot project Institutional Development of Institutes for Prevention, Forest and Land Fire, or locally called Karhutla. Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said in Jakarta on Wednesday that this pilot project is a form of multi-stakeholder approach toward the settlement of the issue of forest fires and land. He also said the purpose of the pilot project is to draft best practices and standard operating procedure to prevent forest fires, to find the effective and applicable way to villages in Indonesia. The participation of the private parties who signed the Memorandum of Understanding in this pilot project is expected to help and minimize forest and land fire and impact in the future. One private company which involved in the pilot project is Asia Pulp and Paper (APP) Sinar Mas through its partner PT Bumi Andalas Permai (PAP) is located in South Sumatra. The chief of the Indonesian Sea Security Agency, or Bakamla, of Indonesia, Rear Admiral Ari Sudewo, received Deputy Director of General of China's Coast Guard Cheng Yide at the former office in Jakarta on Wednesday. Chen Yide was accompanied by five officials during the courtesy call aimed at increasing cooperative relations between Indonesia and China, and in this case between Bakamla of Indonesia and China's Coast Guard, especially in the area of law enforcement in the sea. Important points conveyed by the China's Coast Guard in the meeting include Memorandum of Understanding as future form of cooperation, a plan to set up special communication link for agencies involved in law enforcement in the sea as a form of integration of coordinated communication and exchange of visit between the two countries' agencies. But Kamla of Indonesia held a cooperation plan to be established between the two agencies. Indonesian Financial Services Authority OJK is looking for more Sukuk issuance for state-owned enterprises, especially those related to construction and infrastructure. OJK Commissioner Sarjito said on Wednesday that as 51 state enterprises now involved in various infrastructure developments, OJK hopes that the firms will consider Sukuk issuance as alternative financing for their projects. He said that OJK provides some incentive, including reduced fees for Sukuk issuance compared to conventional bonds. Sarjito also admitted that some Sukuk regulations did not fall under the OJK, requiring other government institutions to take part. OJK has also drafted a regulation with the Finance Ministry to create Sukuk-based mutual funds, as investment management firms have called for the regulation to provide their investors greater access to Sukuk. Head of Indonesian Institute of Science LIPI Iskandar Zulkarnain in event of training workshop science diplomacy with the team penetrating political boundaries for scientific and technological cooperation in Depok West Java Wednesday told media that science has no effect on Indonesian political issues. He views that the science is able to penetrate all aspects of life without knowing and discriminating certain ethnic group, culture, and religion.
Sekarang secara politik ya, kita dan Cina kan tidak sama. Politik kita berbeda kan. Tetapi kerjasama penelitian kita dengan Cina kan berjalan.
Tidak politically, we are not different from China. However, the research cooperation of both countries run well. It is not influenced by the direction of political policy. It is called penetrating all boundaries because cooperation of research has transparent, rational, and universal values. We use the research to address the same issues faced by both Indonesia and China. It is not influenced by politics, culture, race, and religion. Moreover, Iskandar Zulkarnain hopes that Indonesian people have to learn science continuously so that Indonesia can be a best model in overcoming every single issue. The last item, the United States will hold presidential election in November 2016 to replace President Barack Obama, who will immediately terminate his term of office. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are the two strong candidates to become the next U.S. president. In responding to this matter, former Indonesian ambassador to the U.S. of 2010-2013 period, Dino Patijalal, in a fan penetrating political boundaries for cooperation on science and technology in Depok West Java Wednesday, said Hillary Clinton is considered to understand better about various issues in Southeast Asia, including Indonesia. Thus, Hillary has foreign policy which is advantageous for Indonesia.
Yang jelas dari dua itu yang paling bagus untuk Indonesia, Hillary. Karena kebijakan rebalance.
From the two candidates, Hillary Clinton understands better about Indonesia since she was the person behind rebalancing policy of Obama towards Asia. If the strong in Asia, what does it mean? The relationship with China will change, and so has the relationship with Japan and Korea. The largest strategic thrust is Southeast Asia. In other words, the American rebalancing policies improve strategic values of Indonesia very drastically. In addition, Dino Patijalal said that USA will continue to look at Indonesia as the most strategic partner in Southeast Asia. He also said that if Hillary Clinton is elected as the new U.S. president, replacing President Barack Obama, she will be easier to understand, surely, in the context of enhancing both countries' cooperation in the future. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
The winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 are Li Chunkuo of China, Han Yifo of China, Chui Wenpai of China, Liu Fachen of China, Chou Chui Ying of China, Tokita Michio of Japan, Yuho Fujimoto of Japan, Kobai Uemura of Japan, Russell Ainsworth, Australia, Jamal Uddin Elkiki, Australia, Rafiqul Alam Khan, Australia,
Soo Jong Lee, South Korea, MD Mahfuzur Rahman of Bangladesh, Riaz Ahmad Khan, Pakistan.
Congratulations to the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. You are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 to June 1, 2016. Tourism Ministry pays the international tickets, domestic tickets, and ground handling during the visit in Indonesia. The winners bear travel fare from their city of origin to the country's international airport and visa application fee. They are also required to hold and keep all boarding passes during the program. Afterwards, the winners should upload their activities during their visit in Indonesia to social media. Therefore, the winners should complete travel documents and personal data, including phone number and occupation, soon. Please send your photo as well to email wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. We are looking forward to your coming to Indonesia.
Listener, a commentary to the entitled in Jakarta to apply green concept in the construction of new buildings. Jakarta is the capital city of Indonesia has a large percentage of the construction sector. More than 30% of Jakarta includes in the category of the building sector. In addition to the transport sector, the construction sector is in Jakarta accounts for total carbon dioxide emissions significantly. This is certainly comparable to the area of building sector in Jakarta, which is quite large. The concept of environmentally friendly green buildings will be very important for its application to anticipate global warming that may be harmful to human health and the environment. The concept of green buildings can utilize building materials that are environmentally friendly or sustainable for the construction, thus creating a healthy indoor environment, and uncontaminated pollutants are all materials that may cause contaminants. In addition, it has also infiltration wells to increase underground water reserves and implement efficient use of water. The concept requires the building owners to treat their waste to be recycled. The use of building materials such as glass, concrete, steel, and other metal types can cause significant global warming events and may also cause climate change in the world. The number of building glass is very detrimental because the glass can transfer sunlight into the Earth's atmosphere. As a result, the accumulation can make the temperature of the Earth getting hotter. This becomes the basis for the Jakarta provincial government to acquire the construction of new buildings in Jakarta to be green concept. This is in accordance with the vision of the city government as a center for green building in Indonesia, in line with the request of the Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama. The concept of green building is immediately applied in the government buildings, as there is still lack of implementation of the concept. The determination of the green buildings is based on the Governor Regulation Number 131/2012 about the Regional Action Plan for Greenhouse Gas Emission Reduction. By applying the concept in 2030, it is expected to save energy and water by 30%. The concept of the green buildings should be able to combine business interests with environmental interest. Advances in technology are supported by saving natural resources and the preservation of beautiful and clean environment, which certainly brings about positive impact on human health and environmental sustainability. Currently, the green buildings can be an important breakthrough in anticipating global warming. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Okay. Listener, it's nice to be with you again in our regular Today in History of Aerial Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on May 26, 1970, when Guyana liberated itself. Guyana is a sovereign state on the northern mountain of South America. It is bordered with the Atlantic Ocean to the north, Brazil to the south, and southwest Suriname to the east and Venezuela to the west. With 215,000 square kilometers, Guyana is the fourth smallest country on mainland South America after Uruguay, Suriname, and French Guiana. The region, known as Guyana, comprises the largest seal landmass north of the Amazon River and east of the Orinoco River, known as the Land of Many Waters. Originally inhabited by several indigenous groups, Guyana was settled by the Dutch before coming under British control in the late 18th century. It was governed as the plantation economy of British Guiana until independence in 1966, and officially became a republic within the British Commonwealth of Nations in 1970. The legacy of British rule is reflected in the country's diverse population, which includes Indian, African, Amerindian, and multiracial groups. The next event was in 1972 when the United States and Soviet Union signed Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty, SALT I. SALT I is the common name for the Strategic Arms Limitation Talks Agreement signed on May 26, 1972. SALT I froze the number of strategic ballistic missile launchers at existing levels and provided for the addition of new submarine launch ballistic missile SLBM launchers only after the same number of older intercontinental ballistic missile ICBM and SLBM launchers had been dismantled. SALT I is also limited the land-based ICBMs that were in range from the northeastern border of the continental United States to the northwestern border of the continental former USSR. In addition, SALT I limited the number of SLBM-capable submarines that NATO and the United States could operate to 50, with a maximum 800 SLBM launchers between them. If the United States or NATO were to increase the number, the USSR could respond with increasing their arsenal by the same quantity. The treaty signed by the U.S. former President Richard Nixon and General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Leonid Brezhnev. Treaty was valid for 30 years from 1972 to 2002. The last event was in 2005 when Radius Prawiro died. Radius Prawiro was an Indonesian economist and politician. He was one of the founders of Indonesian economy in the New Order. Various important position in economic fields had been held by Radius Prawiro. He was installed as the high official of Audit Board, the Minister of Finance, and the Governor of the Central Bank of Indonesia. He also became an important representative of the institution and international financial institutions. In the Independence War, Radius Prawiro also participated in the battle among others, becoming top officer of Supreme Headquarters of the People's Army Transportation of Indonesia in Yogyakarta in 1947 until 1948. Radius Prawiro died on May 26, 2005 in Munich, Germany due to heart disease at the age of 76 years. Listen, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia needs 5.8 million young entrepreneurs to win ASEAN Economic Community. Indonesia needs 5.8 million young entrepreneurs if it wants to win the competition in the era of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo when opening Jambore College of All ASEAN 2016, held by Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association, HITMI, at Telkom Campus University in Bandung, West Java on Monday. President Joko Widodo said that the current number of 16 businesses reaches 1.56% of the total number of population. In fact, the World Bank standard requires 4%. He said that to get until 2%, Indonesia needs 1.7 million entrepreneurs. Meanwhile, to get 4%, it takes 5.8 million young entrepreneurs. In addition, President Joko Widodo also remarked that the Global Competitiveness Index in 10 ASEAN countries showed that Singapore is ranked first with 5.68%, Malaysia 5.23%, Thailand 4.64%, and Indonesia 4.52%. This means that Indonesia must improve its position. President Joko Widodo added that the most serious problem faced by Indonesia is the rent of the ease of doing business. The ease of doing business, which put Singapore on the list to be the first rent. In the previous year, Indonesia was ranked 120th, and this year Indonesia increases to 109th. Next year, Indonesia will be targeted to be ranked at 40th. Malaysia is already at 18th, and Thailand 49th, and Vietnam 19th. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also remarked that Indonesian young entrepreneurs do not have to take a loan consideration when deciding to carry out businesses, because the most important point is that they have to be encouraged to deal with any problems. Meanwhile, Chairman of HITMI, Bahlil Lahadailia, suggests that higher education or college should not focus on output on diplomas or make them as workers. The college must be able to graduate a lot of intellectuals who are capable of creating jobs. Based on a survey of the total students from Aceh to Papua, which reached 5 million people, 83% of them wants to be employees, 4% wants to be entrepreneurs, and the remaining NGOs and politicians. The University Jamboree of All ASEAN took place until May 26, and titled "Mentor Revolution: Solution to Brilliant and Competitive Entrepreneurs in the Era of ASEAN Economic Community." About 4,000 students from ASEAN member countries participated in this jamboree. Some series of events were held, such as conferences, workshops on business plan, branding plan, sales plan, training on leadership and negotiating training, as well as other inspiring activities. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
The winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 are Li Chunkuo of China, Han Yifo of China, Chui Wenfai of China, Liu Fachen of China, Cho Chui Ying of China, Tokita Michio of Japan, Yuho Fujimoto of Japan, Kobai Uemura of Japan, Russell Ainsworth, Australia, Jamal Uddin Elkiki, Australia, Rafiqul Alam Khan, Australia, So Jung Lee, South Korea, MD Mahfuzur Rahman of Bangladesh, Riaz Ahmad Khan, Pakistan. Congratulations to the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. You are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 to June 1, 2016. Tourism Ministry pays the international tickets, domestic tickets, and ground handling during the visit in Indonesia. The winners bear travel fare from their city of origin to the country's international airport and visa application fee. They are also required to hold and keep all boarding passes during the program. Afterwards, the winners should upload their activities during their visit in Indonesia to social media. Therefore, the winners should complete travel documents and personal data, including phone number and occupation, soon. Please send your photo as well to email wiquiz2016 wiquiz@gmail.com, wiquiz2016@gmail.com. We are looking forward to your coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 95.25 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Ruah Kubur Tradition. Stay tuned. Listener, in welcoming the fasting month of Ramadan, the Javanese community and other communities in Sumatra usually conducting Ruahan tradition. The word Ruah supposedly comes from the word Arwah, or spirit of the ancestors. From the word Arwah, the month is associated as the month of recalling the ancestors. Ruah or Nyadran is the eighth month and coincided with the month of Sya'ban of Hijriah. Usually in this tradition, people flocked to the cemetery's complex for pilgrimage. They bring food and crops to be distributed or eaten together after making a pilgrimage to the grave. Ruah tradition in Bangka, Bangka Belitung province, known as the Ruah Kubur or the Grave Pilgrimage Tradition. Ruah Kubur in a number of areas on the island of Bangka generally celebrated on different days. There are also celebrating before the fall of the 15th of Sya'ban, at precisely at 15th Sya'ban night or post 15th of Sya'ban. Besides celebrated on different days, the implementation of Ruah Kubur also has a distinctive shape in its region in Bangka. In Tempilang area, the Ruah Kubur is celebrated with tradisi perang ketupat or ketupat festivity tradition. While in Kretak village, the tradition is celebrated by visiting the traditional houses. Then in Mentro Barat sub-district, Ruah Kubur is done with a visit to the people's houses and grave pilgrimage. Listeners, some time ago, thousands of residents of the Kretak village and surrounding Sungai Selat sub-district, Central Bangka Regency, flocked to mosque to commemorate Ruah Kubur. People usually present a variety of ketupat, side dishes, and other foods as an expression of gratitude to Allah or God Almighty. Before the peak of Ruah Kubur, residents recite Yasin, part of Quran verses, and Tahlilan celebration. For the people of Kretak village, Ruah Kubur ritual celebration has become a tradition since long times ago, because it is considered as an opportunity to meet with family and relatives. Listener, to greet the guests, Kretak villagers
had prepared everything such as decorating the house and provide a wide variety of food to be enjoyed together with the guests. The atmosphere of Ruah Kubur is a very festive celebration compared to the celebration of other religious holidays such as Idul Fitri, Idul Adha, and the birth of Prophet Muhammad. The atmosphere of the village seemed crowded and festive during the implementation of the Ruah Kubur tradition. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Ruah Kubur. We will see you again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa. Bintang pantai laju menangi.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Indonesia and Australia that will launch an education game called Next Door Lang. Listeners, several times ago, government of Indonesia and Australia launched an education game for elementary and junior high school called Next Door Lang. The launching of education game that will take the players to have adventure virtually to Indonesia or Australia is done by the Indonesian Education and Culture Minister Anies Baswedan and Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop at O2 Menteng Elementary School, Jakarta. The game is hopefully can be cultural promotion media and strengthen the relationship of Indonesian and Australian people. Listener, Next Door Lang is an adventure game where students can choose numbers of cities in Indonesia or Australia to be explored. For instance, if the player chooses Jakarta, so he or she will be taken to see several icons in Jakarta such as Monas and collected points during the game. Or if the player chooses Australia, students will compete to reach the top of Sydney Harbour Bridge. This is the exciting and interesting game to know more about Indonesia and Australia. With the game, students also learn history, music, sports, architecture, and mythology from both countries. Next Door Lang is also prepared to build friendship among two countries since early ages and also to strengthen Indonesia-Australia relations. The Next Door Lang game is also a result of a cooperation between Australian Embassy along with Agate Game Developer, Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry, Asia Education Foundation, and Australia-Indonesia Youth Association. The game application can be accessed in several months and the game can also be downloaded through Android, iOS, and Windows or through Rumah Belajar website that link to iTunes and Android of Australian Foreign Affairs and Trade Ministries. Well, listener, that was an information about Next Door Lang education game to boost Indonesia-Australia friendship. I'm Devi Kusumawati. We'll meet again in the next edition of Miss Lane.
tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Gus Hendratmo. Well, listener, to initiate this segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the first song entitled Timang Timang Anakku Sayang by Gus Hendratmo. Happy listening.
Jangan mata sayang esok hati bermain. Listener, Berpacu Dalam Melodi, a famous program which was held by TVRI. The program was the beginning of live entertainment brought by Gus Hendratmo, an Indonesian pop singer, melodious voice, who has a vocal character more oriented to Tom Jones, a legend singer of the world, who familiarly known with the song Delilah. Gus Hendratmo tends to bring rendition of songs that have been sung by other singers such as the song Timang Timang Anakku Sayang and Gubahanku. He had performed some tours of singing not only at home but also abroad, mainly in the neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, and Brunei Darussalam. Well, listener, let's enjoy to the next song entitled Asmara Terpendam by Gus Hendratmo.
Di balik awanan gelap suram, alam pun geradu menyanyikan angin lalu. Si mambang riang, teringatlah aku di masa dahulu, di waktu samping saling menyanyikan bagaimana hatimu suara asmara yang terpendam, tetapi semua menjadi kenangan, kenangan yang membisu. Hatiku merana menanti bahagia sejak tak kunjung tiba. Jauh malam hari, bulan bintang sepi, di balik awanan gelap suram, alam pun beragam menyanyikan angin lalu, suara asmara yang terpendam.
Listener, the popularity of Gus Hendratmo, who also fluent to sing the melody songs, tends to pursue the profession of presenter both on air or off air events of TVRI or other private television stations in the country. So, singing only as a compliment in his performance when he brought events as a master ceremony or presenter. Well, listener, To conclude today's music corner, let's listen to the last song entitled Gubahanku by Kus Hendratmo. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
yang memilih terlanjur mencintaimu. Jika bukan karena tak tahan lagi, jika ikuti kata hati, aku sudah pergi jauh.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Tak bisa bersatu saat
yakin tak ada cinta selain dirimu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.